Well, to North Carolina now, which has been described as the new Napa Valley of oysters. But something is killing oysters along the Atlantic coast this summer, and a team of researchers has come together to investigate. Zachary Turner visited one of the team's sample sites and reported this story from member station WUNC.
Drive along the waters of Carteret County in North Carolina, and you'll be sure to encounter a stand of wooden pylons that signal a nearby oyster farm. Oyster farming is a large and growing industry in the state. Farms produced $5 million worth of oysters in 2020, compared to $500,000 in 1994. But something, or some combination of things, is killing Carolina oysters.
On the biological end, what it looks like is oysters starving.
That's Tal Ben-Hareen, an assistant professor at the College of Veterinary Medicine at North Carolina State University. He's studying ongoing summer mortality events that plague oyster farms along the Atlantic coast.
We see oysters that are healthy one day or seemingly healthy one day and dying in mass the next. And when you look at, say, live oysters sampled during this mortality event, they seem to be withering away, not always, but withering away. They're watery. The visceral mass, which is like the meaty bit of tissue, seems to kind of implode within itself.
These deaths have occurred in oyster farms sporadically over the last 10 years. Ben-Hareen and his team deployed 6 field sites in North Carolina, where Callie Simpson, a graduate research assistant, and Christian Gillikin, an undergraduate summer research fellow, count oysters on the deck of their research vessel.
So that's a dead one.
That's a dead one?
Yeah, it's like opened up.
Yeah.
And then some of them, they kind of tried to disguise themselves, I guess, as being alive.
So you can just mistake it, but you'll hear the hollow shell compared to the full shell.
Once they sort out the dead oysters, the team measures the shells. Jonathan Lucas, a research associate with the pathology lab in North Carolina State University, explains what they hope to learn from the numbers.
You could have sublethal effects, meaning that they're not dying, but they're also not growing. You know, and then also, if we see an actual like a decrease in length, that's not because the oysters are shrinking. What that means is we're seeing selection for size.
This site hasn't yet had a big die-off, but others have not been so lucky, with 80% of the oysters dying at least one site.
If we can find the smoking gun, figure out exactly what has caused the mortality event, that would be a success.
Once Lucas and the team finish at the field site, they bring samples back to Mark Krzyzewski, a graduate student at the Noble Lab at UNC's Institute of Marine Sciences.
Rather than just looking at the oyster and the physiology and the responses that the oyster have, we want to know whether they be bacterial or parasitic protozoans, what the presence of those pathogens actually looks like and how that may be overwhelming the oyster.
The ocean is filled with bacteria, protozoa, viruses, and much more. Every microscopic passenger in the water column flows through the local oyster population and filters through their gills. When an oyster becomes stressed, its relationship with these microorganisms can change.
It's been very hot and very salty this summer, so that offers additional challenges to oysters, which may prevent them from being able to stave off some of the challenges from the microbial populations.
Chris Mateo, president of North Carolina Shellfish Growers Association, owns 2 farms and sells oyster seed from his nursery. This helps mitigate the losses he sustained from a mortality event that recently struck one of his grow sites.
It's a total collapse. In some cases, 90% of people's crops are decimated inside of a couple of weeks. This one, we're getting reports anywhere from 60 to 90% of people's crops dying rather quickly.
When oysters die, farmers lose more than just money.
Oyster farming is a year-round, it's a year-round effort. So when you have a collapse like this, people have so much time and effort in their crop, and they're banking on selling that crop. So there's a financial collapse that occurs, and the workload to deal with the mortality and the extra work involved in separating live oysters from dead oysters.
Jonathan Lucas and the other scientists associated with the project are quick to acknowledge that this research would not be possible without the collaboration of industry stakeholders.
It's a win-win, I think. You know, it's a win for the grower because he gets to help out with research that hopefully helps his industry succeed and do better and solve some problems that might be coming up. And it's a good deal for us because we get to conduct experiments and ask scientific questions.
Despite the severity of these summer mortality events, Mateo, the oyster farmer, emphasizes that consumers do not need to avoid oyster products. For farmers who salvage a portion of their crop, there is no evidence that the surviving oysters pose a risk to human health. For Here and Now, I'm Zachary Turner.